clear the board here and we'll invite Wan He back. And I believe, if I read the agenda correctly, this will be Wan He's last time with us, or?
Yep.
Okay. He is returning to the KASB after long and honorable, if not unwounded, service. Wan He, take it away. Agenda paper four.
So, agenda paper four is about IFRS 5 issues. At the last September meeting, the committee exploring several old issues relating to IFRS 5 agreed to discuss new issues before deciding how to proceed with the old issues. This paper addresses three new issues, which are issue 1A, issue 1B, and issue 2. I think that we can go about addressing the issues one by one. Issue 1A is about whether some cases of a loss of control of a subsidiary are classified as held for sale. First of all, we think that there are two cases of loss of control. One is a loss of control involving a sale, and a loss of control not involving a sale. And we think that the meaning of sale in this sense is that there should be a change in ownership interest and therefore results in a loss of control of a subsidiary. On this basis, we think that it is necessary to examine whether there is a sale plan. We think that there is a distinction between a loss of control of a subsidiary with a sale plan and a loss of control without a sale plan. We think that a loss of control without a sale plan would not qualify for held for sale because paragraph 8A of IFRS 5 only deals with a sale plan involving loss of control of a subsidiary. In the case of a loss of control with a sale plan, it would be classified as a held for sale if the criteria in paragraph 6 to 8 of IFRS 5 are met. The criteria in these paragraphs include commitment to a sale plan, active program to locate a buyer, etc. Based on these observations, we looked at three cases that the submitter presented to us. The first case, case 1.1, is a case of dilution. We think that dilution results in a change in ownership, so we think that it is a case of a loss of control involving a sale. Then we looked at whether there is a sale plan. We think that the decision not to subscribe to new shares issued by the subsidiary per se is not a qualifying sale plan because it could just be an internal decision. We, however, think that the act of offering shares for sale could meet the criteria depending on the steps or actions taken to find a buyer. That is, for example, if it means that there is an active program to locate a buyer, we think that the classification of held for sale would be met, criteria would be met, but we think that additional facts is necessary. The second case, case 1.2, is a call option given to a non-controlling shareholder. This is also a case of a loss of control involving a sale. And considering whether there is a qualifying sale plan, we think that the call option would meet the criterion of commitment to a sale plan because the call option contract is a binding agreement. However, we think that the call option would not meet the criterion of completing a sale within 1 year because the exercisable period of the call option extends beyond 1 year. Accordingly, we do not think that this case would lead to the classification of held for sale. The third case is case 1.3, is modification of the shareholders agreement. And we think that this is not a case of a loss of control involving a sale because there would not be a change in ownership interest. So we do not think that this case would lead to the classification of held for sale. So based on this analysis, we think that IFRS 5 provides sufficient guidance, and we recommend that the committee should not add issue 1A to its agenda. So do you agree with the analysis, and do you agree with the recommendation?
Okay, let me exercise my privilege to direct a couple of questions to the staff. loss of control always leads you to remeasure at fair value. Correct. The issue with IFRS 5 then is twofold. If I trigger IFRS 5, I might do so earlier. And therefore be forced to measure at fair value earlier. And point B, I would be forced into the disclosure and classification framework for IFRS 5.
I just put a slight modification on that. IFRS 5 is only a downwards
that's iteration. Right.
It's not
point. So if I had a gain, I wouldn't get it, even though I might still be forced into the classification regime in 5. Okay, second question. At least in the dilution case, it seems to me that this question puts a lot of pressure on what we consider to be the asset. Because the asset, 100 shares, doesn't change. Was never offered for sale. And continues to be in the portfolio of the company throughout the process.
Yeah. That's right. And I think the way that we've analyzed this is to focus on what we would perhaps describe, we didn't use these words, but would describe as a deemed sale.
Okay. So that makes it critical that we're dealing with what we consider to be a deemed sale.
Yes.
Is that in the literature any place?
I
or
don't
is that
know
our creation?
But previous agenda decisions, sir.
Yeah, yes. Okay. All right, I have two board members who want to weigh in, and then the IASB contingent will shut up for a while. Sue?
On a similar theme to where I think Wayne was going, when I read the first issue, 1A, and picked up, thought, that's a very interesting question, picked up IFRS 5 and started to look at it, it wasn't clear to me, including with the example of loss of control of a subsidiary in IFRS 5, whether the driver is the fact that I'm selling something, so selling shares, which could result in a loss of control, or whether always a loss of control would be relevant because the focus is really on the fact that you know that fair value measurement is coming. So you know that what's going to hit your P&L is going to be a fair value measurement type outcome, rather than continuing to consolidate and have the sort of ongoing effect of consolidation coming through P&L in your accounts. If the focus was on loss of control, then I would have gone down a quite different analysis to what's in this paper, because I think the paper went with more of a disposal type focus. And looking at the basis and looking at the examples in 5, I couldn't work out what the driver was supposed to be. So I guess for me it was a little bit, just as one person, it was a little bit less clear to me what the driver was. So I wasn't as clear on what the scope consequence would have been.
Philippe?
Well, I guess my reaction to the dilution fact pattern is probably quite of the same nature. I mean, I think there is a risk of pushing the interpretation of IFRS 5 too much towards loss of control, whereas it was really for a sale activity. And a loss of control without a sale is different from a loss of control with a sale. Here in the dilution, there is no sale per se. And in paragraph 36, I'm following, you say that it is equivalent to a sale because there is a decision. Yes, there is a decision by management of the controlling entity not to subscribe to new shares, but to say that it is equivalent to the sale is really interpreting a bit too much, in my opinion, IFRS 5. So I was concerned that it is also conflicting with a general principle that you consolidate a subsidiary until the point where you lose control. Here, that would trigger a deconsolidation and fair value measurement instead at an earlier point based on the decision not to subscribe the shares, new shares to be issued. So I think having an exception to the principle of consolidating to the point where you lose control, you need to be pretty sure that really it falls into the scope of IFRS 5. I think you are at risk of extending a little bit too much the scope of IFRS 5, and that would, to me, need a standard modification rather than just interpretation or clarification.
Let's let the committee come in now. Bruce?
Thanks. Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of comments, so I'm going to try and keep them a bit brief because I don't think we could get into quite a lot. I mean, I agree with what's been said. I guess my concern when I started reading it is exactly what are we trying to address. And I guess my biggest concern is probably more on the solutions, because a couple of them I don't necessarily agree with at all. I mean, for example, I think the concern I've got is in the first one we're saying, well, if we choose actively not to involve in shares, we're saying that's a positive action not to take on shares. We accept that that then is going to meet the criteria. Yet my concern is in number three, where we then turn around and say they've got an agreement, which means they're no longer now renewed. Well, that's also a positive action. I entered into agreement that has a one-year expiry. That means that I know in 12 months' time that unless something drastic changes at this stage, I will lose control. Well, I don't see the differentiator between one and three. I think both of them are actions taken by the company that will lose control within 12 months. Case two, my only concern around case two is that it kind of opened more questions than I think it answered. I mean, we're giving a fact pattern that's talking effectively around the fact that the options deepen the money. Great, that sounds good. And then we're kind of, I think, almost getting ourselves out of it very quickly by saying, well, fine, then it's got a three-year period, therefore the call is okay. My only concern about that is, well, does that mean that once the option is exercisable within 12 months, my solution changes? Does it mean that if it's in or out the money, does my conclusion change? Does it mean if it's kind of at the money at any point, what do I then do? So I guess my concern around that second one was, I can see, you know, we've raised a question, and I think we've given an answer that was a bit obvious. You know, it's a three-year time period to call, but I think the moment you start shortening those periods, the moment you start looking at whether it's out of the money, in the money, those are the issues that are going to be raised. So my concern is that I think that when we start dealing just with three fact patterns like this, I think we could end up sitting here for the next 6 months discussing 20 different alternatives that are going to go into that. And that's kind of where my concern is around this one.
In defense of the staff, yeah. I think they recognize that these are hideously specific fact patterns. Yeah. They were trying to tease out of some principles there. And so in their defense, Bruce, I think, agrees with that. All right, I have John, Morantz, Tony, Andrew, Martin.
Agree with some of the analysis, but I think that's not really the issue. I don't think there is sufficient guidance in IFRS 5 to answer these questions, because I think it's unclear in IFRS 5 whether the loss of control is a disposal that ought to be accounted for under IFRS 5, or whether a disposal has to involve a sales transaction. It seems to me that the dilution event is a sales transaction. It's a subsidiary which is controlled by the parent. And the parent is obviously making the decision that the subsidiary is going to issue shares to outside parties. So it's actively making the decision to dispose of its interest in that subsidiary. I don't think you have to be selling your own shares. There's economically no difference between allowing or helping the subsidiary to issue shares to an outside party and selling part of your own shares. So it seems to me to get different application of IFRS 5 to those situations would not make any sense.
John here. Is it what you think IFRS 5 should be telling people to do, or do you think it is what it says today?
I think it's unclear what it says today, because it talks about this unclear, because it talks about disposal through sale or otherwise. So to me, helping a subsidiary or allowing a subsidiary to issue shares so that you lose control is a disposal of a subsidiary through sale or otherwise. So I could certainly see case one being clearly within IFRS 5. In case two, with the call option, I could agree that the issuing of the call option is a sale plan, but I don't agree with the fact that it's got an exercise price period of 3 years means that it fails the 12 months, because that's an assessment of probability. We already decided that in when we discussed the six criteria in IFRS 5 in September 2013, we decided the assessment of whether the sale is completed within 12 months is an assessment of probability. So if we assess that it was probable the call option was going to be exercised, then I think you would meet the 12-month criteria. The other issue with case two that I think is confusing is Clearly, once it becomes exercisable, you're going to lose control. But we're focusing on the exercise of it within 12 months. So the loss of control is going to occur when the call option becomes exercisable. But the actual disposal may not occur until the counterparty actually exercises the option. So again, we have this disconnect between is it the loss of control that's the event that's captured within IFRS 5, or is it the actual disposal transaction itself? So I don't think IFRS 5 has sufficient guidance to answer those questions.
You do not?
I do not think it has sufficient guidance.
All right. Laurence, and then I have Tony, Andrew, Martin, Murray.
I agree with John that I believe, I also believe that IFRS 5 is not so clear about how to apply to the specific cases provided. In the case one, I would have also thought that it was a deemed disposal. This is consistent with previous agenda decisions we've made. Consider that this was a disposal. I can think of the entity could have subscribed the, say, share capital increase and immediately sold the shares to the other owners. You would have a sale in that case. Well, instead of that, they decided not to follow, share capital increase and to let others subscribe to shares directly. So I don't see so much of the difference. With respect to the case two, I have exactly the same concerns as John expressed them, and I would not be so definitive in the fact that it's not highly probable that you will not have a disposal within 1 year. Case three, I agree that technically speaking, reading IFRS 5, you don't have a sale. But I question here what would be most relevant for the users of financial statements, and I come back to Sue's points about where do we want to go, and when should IFRS 5 apply? Should it apply when you have a loss of control, or should it apply when you have a real sale of the shares, per se? And I tend to believe that what would be important and interesting for users of financial statements, I'd like to hear from them, is to be consistent with the loss of disposal, the loss of control. But I acknowledge that this would require an amendment because IFRS 5 is not clear at this stage about that. Now, to address those issues, are they too fact-specific? Once more, for me, they are like an additional problem with IFRS 5, implementing IFRS 5. I just don't know whether we should address these, really.
Tony?
I have very similar concerns to John and Laurence. I'm not sure that IFRS 5 is clear. And I can look at the reference in paragraph 5 to disposal by sale or otherwise. And then there are some specific references in BC 24B and 24C, which could lead you towards the conclusion that disposal by otherwise is a loss of control. And if that's the case, then I think you can say in all three circumstances, these would fall within the scope of IFRS 5 and you would apply the guidance in IFRS 5. On the other hand, you can look at them and say, well, is there a sale? I agree with John and Laurence that I would typically see the sale of shares by a subsidiary as being a deemed disposal. I can see somebody arguing that it's different because the proceeds are never actually under the control of the seller, if somebody wanted to make that argument. So I'm just not sure that there's enough in IFRS 5 to conclude one way or another whether losing control is a disposal. And I'm not sure how we can answer that question. On the specific examples, again, I agree that if losing control is the threshold, then in situation two, it is clearly highly probable because as soon as it becomes exercisable, control will be lost. And similarly with example three. But I think rather than debating the three specific examples, the question is whether or not losing control is what puts you in IFRS 5.
Thank you. that helps. Andrew?
Yeah, exactly the same as others, really. I also noted the discussion in the basis 24B and C, which was made when the amendment to include loss of control by way of distribution was added into IFRS 5, emphasises very much that loss of control is the key economic event. So in these three fact patterns, I think we need to get an answer, we would need clarification about the scope of IFRS 5. Is it capable of applying to any form of loss of control or only to some notion of a normal sale type transaction or a distribution to owners? And also much more about the plan in each of these three cases that led up to the ultimate loss of control. On the three particular examples, just on the call option one, we just know we could actually, under IFRS 10, quite easily conclude we lose control before the exercisable date.
Martin?
I guess the board should rename the standard in loss of control of subsidiary, then it would be clear. I guess Pandora's box was opened with the introduction of 12A, where we talk about distribution to owners, which is not typical sale transaction. I mean, economically, we are losing control, and with this philosophy beyond, I could probably answer all the questions. With regard to the labeled examples, to be honest, I see no. It could be that there is no real economic difference between case 1.1 and 1.3. Imagine I might dilute my company by just offering two shares when I've only, say, 50% plus one share, or I might enter into a modification of the shareholder agreement and get an additional don't know what premium or so. So these are very, very similar, and I fear that due to this static interpretation or so, would have to be accounted for differently. So my view is that we can't give an additional interpretation or anything before we have not a clearer view on the whole philosophy beyond IFRS 5.
Marie?
Yeah, regarding the submission, I think the idea was just to show the tension between IFRS 5, which is written mainly for sale, and the fact that the definition and the fact that the amendment clarifies that distribution are also in the scope, we see a tension between these two. And so we explain some example, but it's only sort of illustration. I think the key question is the one raised by Tony, which is when shall we apply IFRS 5 or not?
Charlotte?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what's being said. I think I struggle with, I was going down the route that loss of control was the equivalent of a sale, but then I struggle with paragraph 6, which is really talking about how you're recovering your carrying value, whether it's through sale or continuing use. And I'm not sure if you're diluting, how that informs how you're recovering your carrying value.
Okay, going to the phones. Sandy, anything to add?
No, my comments are similar to what others have already said.
Fei Long, anything to add?
Just a couple of comments on the analysis. Talking about the case, like case 2, and the paragraph in the page 7. More facts and circumstances are required for the assessment, whether they are under the same disposal plan. Any economic dependence among these subsidiaries, it is risky to provide guidance on application issues without full detail of facts and circumstances. And also, comments on the case 2-3, consideration of the size of unit. And the operating segment, which is neither a major life business nor major geophysical area of operations, does not automatically qualify as a discontinued operation. However, a reportable segment automatically qualify as a major line of business. And also a comment on the paragraph 46, keep in the money. Apart from considering this, whether the call option is substantive to be considered as part of the assessment of whether the commitment to a plan involving loss of control is highly probable. That's very much some comments on the analysis.
Okay, thank you. Michael, I thought Tony had a good point.
Yeah.
Can you remind us what it was?
Okay, yes. It was, this is all about when are you in IFRS 5 or when are you not in IFRS 5? And the question that Tony raised was, is losing control what puts you into IFRS 5, given that we have this reference to buy, sell, or otherwise? And that or otherwise, I think, is what's partly contributing to the confusion, the lack of clarity, together with the disposal by distribution as well, which is the other example that's been added.
Okay, I heard a lot of people saying that they did not find IFRS 5 as clear as the staff did on the issues in one. So that would not lead to the agenda decision that has been proposed. It would instead lead us to, putting these issues with the others and carrying the whole thing forward. Now, I note that Juan, he won't be here to help us with that. But other than chaining him to his desk and telling him he can't go back to Korea, which would make the KASB unhappy, we don't have any alternative to that. So, but my sense of the committee is that they do not support the proposed agenda decision, that we ought to carry all of these over as part of the committee's continuing analysis of IFRS 5.
Well, I think where we had got to on the other issues discussed at the last meeting was that this needed to be looked at more broadly by the board as part of a broader project looking at IFRS 5. So I suppose for me the question would be, are we suggesting that we put this sort of question that Tony had articulated in there as being part of that communication to the board?
Well, I understand that, Michael, and it seems to me that we have at a minimum a professional obligation if we're going to refer that something to the board to tell them what we think the answer is. You know, telling the board y'all ought to go think about this isn't the most constructive thing, because what they're liable to do is to say, that's great, and we think we should subcontract finding the answer back to you guys. So we'll be back in the ping pong game. So I do think it's incumbent on us, if we think something should be referred to the board, certainly something as limited as the applicable scope of IFRS 5, that we come up with what we think the answer is. And then we tell them, and oh, by the way, we don't think that it's within our power to implement this answer. I would look at our three board members. Would you find that a better way to go? Sue's nodding her head, yes. I can't see Chung Wu. He's nodding his head, yes. Philippe is sort of getting
that. I think we have to rethink IFRS 5 in the context, in the light of this discussion a little bit. I think we need to decide really where we want to draw it towards loss of control or towards sale. And I know it's not easy, but as we are today, it's really unclear. And I think you don't have a basis for an agenda decision. You may develop an interpretation based on the staff's view that otherwise
is to be interpreted as loss of control. But I don't think it's really clear that the board at the time it did IFRS 5 at that view. I wasn't present, so I don't know.
Well, I don't think we're prepared today to tell the board that we think the answer is. I think we need a proper analysis of that issue. I think I'm not sure I'd agree with John on some of the comments he made, but we'll see. So that's what we'll do. The agenda decision will read pending future action and finding an appropriate staff victim. I would like, given that we have 3 minutes before 11 o'clock, to thank Wonhee. He has absolutely delivered yeoman service on some very difficult and agonizingly detailed issues. And so I do think a vote of thanks and a round of applause. Michael, do we have somebody coming from the KASB set up to replace Wonhee?
We do have some new stuff coming from Korea, and we will put people in the right places.
So this we could make this the Korean issue?
That might be possible.
All right, it is.
So Wonhee was wanting to run through the other points.
Oh, he has other points?
Because we had issue one, which we've been discussing, but there's also issue two as well.
Well, I thought that since the other points were to continue discussion, that by saying continue discussion on everything, I had dealt with that.
So we'll bring the whole thing.
We'll bring the whole thing back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
close enough. Oh, I'm going to make an executive decision that it is now 11 o'clock. All of our countries have lost soldiers, men and women in action. May we sit quietly for 1 minute and reflect on that reality.